morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today's scripture is from NSAB, Philippians 2, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name for which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
That is one of my biggest fears, is tripping before everybody getting up here, and I almost did that. Man. We're going to be in Isaiah 53. Marion mentioned there's a preacher about to come up, but I want to say I am preaching. However, I am not worthy to be speaking the words of our God, and I believe that. But however, God has allowed us to be in this moment, and I give thanks for allowing myself to speak. Give thanks to God for allowing me to speak his words. But we're going to be in Isaiah 53. But before we get there, I want us to give thanks to God because he has allowed us to wake up this morning. A lot of people did not wake up this morning, but however, God allowed us to be here in the fellowship of his people, and we are here in the presence of our God today. Amen? We are here today before God. So to give him your minds, give him your spirits, give him your attention, because God has awesome principles and teachings in his word. Also, if you're a visitor, we welcome you. It's our pleasure to have you here amongst us in this worship service. So allow us to begin. In 1992, Gatorade had a campaign for Michael Jordan. It was we're talking about Michael Jordan again. 1992, Gatorade had a campaign for Michael Jordan. It was to be like Mike. Be like Mike, drink Gatorade. And in this commercial had these young women, young men, all different ranges, colors, heights, big kids, fat kids, had all these kids shooting basketballs, trying to be like Mike. They wanted to be like Michael Jordan, trying to dribble like him, trying to shoot like him. And I remember saying that when I was younger, and I wanted to be like Mike. I drank so much Gatorade because I wasn't 6'6", I wasn't that fast, I wasn't that graceful. Now, I wanted to be like him so bad, I wanted to think like him. He has a quote where he says, talent wins games, but intelligence and teamwork wins championships. And I was like, that's brilliant. I was like, I want to be like him. So I had my wallpaper in my room, like Chicago Bulls. My bedspread was Chicago Bulls. I had all the pairs of Jordans. I even wore a jersey like him. I even had the warm-up rip-off playing basketball in the front yard. Like, I wore the armband. I wanted to be like Mike. They even had a song that goes, sometimes I dream that he is me, and that's exactly how I dream to be. Sometimes I move, sometimes I groove like Mike. I want to be like Mike. And I wanted to be like Mike so bad. I wanted to be like him so bad. But I just wasn't that. So I set up my uncle, he drives the Dallas Maverick buses. So we traveled 3 hours to Dallas to watch the Mavericks and the Chicago Bulls play. I wanted to see Jordan play. And he set it up to where at the end, at the ramp where the bus is, he made all the fans go up top. So it was just me, my mom, and my uncle, and then the bus, and all the players would just walk by, just walk right by me. And I'm like, giving one high five. I'm like, good game, even though they lost. Michael Jordan's coming. I'm like, okay. I had my jacket. I had his jersey. I had his shoes. I had everything. I was ready. And I had the ball, and I reached the ball out, and I said, Michael, can I have your autograph? And he waved me off and said, no. And I was just like, wow. He let me down. I'm even getting emotional now. Not because of Michael Jordan, but because he taught me a huge lesson that day. My dad used to say, quit idolizing Michael Jordan. Stop worshiping him. And I'm like, I'm not worshiping him. I just like him a lot. You know, I have his pictures, and it's like a shrine in my room. But and then when I think further down the line, I look back, and I'm like, that day, went back home. I took my bedspread there. I took it off. All the shoes, I boxed them up, put them in the garage. Action figures off my wall. It was like, everything Chicago Bulls, I have no issues with idols anymore. Idols are done. Like, I don't look up to people like that ever. I will never look up to anyone, a human, a man, ever on that level again. He doesn't even, and I look back and Michael Jordan doesn't even remember my name. He doesn't even know my name. And he doesn't even know what I did that day. You know what I mean? He doesn't, if I would have been Mike, hey man, when I was 13, man, you snubbed me. He wouldn't even remember who I was. He wouldn't. Wouldn't know who I was. However, there is someone who does know who we are. There is someone who has made some sacrifices on our behalf. And there is someone I really, really want to be like. And it's not just in thought, because a lot of Christians, we want to be like Christ in thought, or this beautiful idea we fall in love with. But I'm not saying that. I don't want to be in love with the idea of Christ. I don't even want to be in love with the image of Christ. I want to be, and I want you, I want all of us to be in love with the reality of Christ Jesus and what he has done for you and me. He has done tremendous things. So now my song I sing in my head, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ so bad. And I want us to be. There's been people in our lives that we've looked up to. And maybe your mother, your father. Maybe you think your mother on a high level. My mom, put my mom on high levels. But she's not. She dwarfs in the presence of Christ. Your dad, your friends, family, doctor. You might want to be like somebody financially or emotionally. You see how strong they are and their personality and their structure. You might want to be like a lot of people, but not like Christ. We want to be like Christ. And in Isaiah 53, it reads this. I want to be like Christ in his lifestyle. I want to be like Christ. It says, verse 53, chapter 53, verse 1 says, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot. This tender shoot, this is humble beginnings. Christ in his silent lifestyle, his quiet lifestyle. And like a root out of a parched ground, he has no stately form or majesty. He looked regular. He had no stately form or majesty that we would look upon him. And nor did he have the appearance that we should be attracted to him. He wasn't buff. He didn't have the six-pack. He wasn't smooth. He wasn't all those things. Verse 3, he was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their eyes. He wasn't beautiful. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, this is where I want us to get these pronouns. We know what pronouns again. We know what pronouns are. The me, we, us, them, they, you, us, our. Look at these pronouns. He's talking to you and me here. He says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being, for upon him and by his scourging, we are healed. All of us are like sheep, and we have gone astray. Each of us was turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquities to fall. The Lord has caused the iniquities of us all to fall on Jesus, on him. I want to be like Christ in my polishing the inner man. I want to be like Christ in the way I serve others. I want to be like Christ in my lifestyle. Amen? Not this idea of Christ, not this image of Christ, but this reality of Christ Jesus and what he's done for you and I, and given us a pathway to find him so we can live with him eternally. I want to be like Christ in the inner man, polishing the inner man, the inner spirit, the inner woman. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 breaks this down a little bit further as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2. verse 1 says, First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men and women to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. There is one God, one mediator also between God and men, and that man is Christ. So he says, I want you to be praying for one another, not just praying an idea or just praying in the spirit. And then I pray that something happens to these people. I pray that Houston helps, and then do nothing. We help Houston and nothing happens. And we sit down and that's the end of it. He says prayer means action, action. You got to get moving to lift. You got to get up. You can't pray for something and then sit still, but you got to move and serve so that it can come about. And God sees that you're putting in your part. God's going to take over the whole thing. God is good, and He wants us to know that we want to be like Christ. He wants us to know that. I want to be like Christ in my lifestyle, in my polishing the inner man. Then look at verse 7. It says, this is the prophecy of Christ, by the way. He says, verse 7, he says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. So we see God making this sacrifice. I don't want to be just like Christ in my lifestyle and just polishing my inner man. I want to be like Christ in my sacrifice. I want to be like Christ in my sacrifice, he says. And that's what we should be. Sacrificing our comfort, sacrificing our ego, sacrificing our arrogance, sacrificing our timidity and willing to help other people. Sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, I don't want to help them out. I don't want to be too kind because they're going to use that against me, because they're going to see me as weak. He made the sacrifice for you so that you can make the sacrifice for others, so in order to motivate them to come to Christ Jesus, because without Christ Jesus and that sacrifice, you and I are lost, and we have nothing. We have no hope. We have no hope. And if you think you do have hope, you don't have hope. That was so deep. But if you think you have hope, we have no hope without Christ Jesus and the blood being shed. And that's why it's so important that we look at this prophecy in Isaiah 53 that was written 200 years before Christ even comes on the scene. I want to be like Christ in that sacrifice. Christ was thinking about me before I was ever thought of, and he said, you know what, I got to look ahead. and I'm going to save them people because I know they have no hope and they ain't got nothing going for them. Even as arrogant as they are and as much as the ego they have and in their selfishness, they may think they have something going on, but you have nothing going on. I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care if you make how much money you make. I don't care if you're a government official. I do not. Well, Jesus doesn't care. But can we submit to his will? God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how poor you are or how impoverished you are. Jesus said, my blood can cover whatever sin you got. And my grace is very strong. All you need to do is just trust in my grace and trust in the blood and follow me, not my image. Don't follow the idea, but follow my reality of what has happened and what I have done for you, my people. There is expectation there.
And we've got to sacrifice. If we can't sacrifice like Christ, heaven is not your home. And the presence of God is not your home. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like him in my inner man and polishing myself. And hopefully we want to polish ourselves. Also, I want to be like Christ in our sacrifice. We need to be like Christ in our sacrifice. Verse 10 goes on and says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render or submit himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, by God's knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the wealth with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressor, yet he himself bore the sins of many. Whew! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some of you guys are thinking, you're in the Old Testament, but we need you in the New. I'm not going to say your name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse, I'm just going to read verse 15. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And this is that ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is to be brought back into a friendly relationship. We had sinned. We sinned against our God. We were away. Scripture says we were straying like sheep. We were gone. God, your way is your way, but we're going to go this way. And therefore, we are separated from Christ Jesus. What do we need? We need his blood to bring us, to reconcile us back to a friendly relationship. In verse 15 it says, in chapter 5 it says, and he died for all so that they who lived might no longer live for themselves. That's personal. And he died for all so that they who lived might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. He didn't just die to overcome death. He died to overcome death and conquer death so that you and I would have an opportunity or a shot at this eternal life with God himself, the reality. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed. Behold, the new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them or us. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Jesus, who knew no sin, become sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is a love story if you have never heard one. That is a love story. Now, I just picture this. I can picture it. He's speaking very clear here. He says, "This you went away. I'm putting you on the cross today, and you're going to die on the cross. This isn't the last time I'm going to say this. You were dying on the cross, and we did away with Clinton. Clinton can't save anybody. You don't want to be like me. I will let you down. Amen? That would be loud enough. Amen? I will let you down. I promise you I'll let you down. I will let you down. And I don't want to trust you because you're going to let me down as well. Every time. And you don't have to wait a few years for me to let you down. You just wait a few days and I'll let you down. But Jesus said, but he says here, I'm dying as you so you can put yourself away, Clinton. So you can live as me in the righteousness and what I have to offer. You have nothing to offer anyone. The only thing I have to offer is Christ Jesus and him crucified to anyone. Because he is the Savior of the world. And he's going to save us all. Amen? He will save us. I believe that. And I hope you believe it as well. Drop back to Isaiah. So again, I want to think like Christ. I want to think like him. Because there's times where I think ahead and it doesn't, my thing in my head is like two days prior, it just doesn't work out. But Christ, like I said, this is before Christ came on the scene 200 years, another 2,000 has come, and he was thinking about me. Way back then, that's a purpose for God right there. That's Jesus has purpose, and I want to live with that purpose as well. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Through him, through Jesus then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And he says, verse 14, go back up to 14. He says, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. The church is here, and heaven is very, it's in your heart. It's here. It is here. We are in the presence of our Lord, and we need to, I'm not saying heaven is here on earth. Don't mistake me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we are on our way to heaven. We'll find that Zion, that city of God. But also, I'll close out with this. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like him in the way he polishes our inner man and inner woman. I want to be like Christ in the sacrifice he's made. And I also want to be like Christ in the way he thinks. Thinking ahead, not of himself, but of those ahead, so that he sees us being saved and he has the many. And we are his offspring. Destined for eternity with him. He says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intended on one purpose. That one purpose is God. God, Jesus did not come here speaking on John. He says, Jesus said, I didn't come here to speak on my own initiative, but I came here to speak what God has given me to speak. Therefore, he's in obedience with God, and therefore that pleases God. So he says to us, I need you to be in one mind and in one spirit and one purpose. Because when you have that one purpose in serving others, then you're serving God. And when you're serving God, you're serving others. And I love how that works. And he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also of the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's this attitude? This attitude of submission. We got to submit under the mighty hand of God. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard himself equal with God, a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Took the form of a bondservant. How many of us like taking the form of a bondservant? We don't sometimes, but we have to if we want to be like Christ. We have to. We have to. So he leaves with this. He says, I want you to have this in your mind. I want you to have this in your mind. I want you to have one purpose intended on the Spirit. Because when we have this one purpose intended on the Spirit, we will not fall in love with the idea of Christ. We won't fall in love with the image of Christ. We won't fall in love with evangelizing so much that we forget the purpose of loving God. It's like a philanthropist who's so engulfed in facilitating the function and the event that he actually forgets the love that he has for the people and the community that he's supposed to be giving to. We get so focused on trying to find the will of God that we forget who God really is. We get so focused on proving Scripture and the Word of God that we forget to have the relationship with the God that has created us in the first place. Does that make sense? We get so focused on this, and we forget, whoa, my God. Whoa, you are the God. We get wrapped up in the Scripture God. And we need to be the reality of who are in this relationship with the God who has created us and placed us here to be lights in the world and to reach the world. That's our purpose. Don't get caught up in your purpose and forget the purpose. And we do that all the time. Amen? Don't lie to yourself. We do it. I'll be the first one. I get caught up in Scripture. I want to learn, man, what would Jesus been teaching if he would have lived a little bit longer? Because he was kind of a young man at 30. What if he could have lived to 50, man? He could have changed the world differently. And what if he would have, what if? And we search these questions that have no answers. And then I forget that the reality is my Christ is here. My God is here. We get so wrapped up in theology and all the other things that we forget the reality of Christ Jesus. And that's who we need to become. Because he did die so we could be his righteousness. If you have a need this morning, you haven't had the desire to be like Christ, or you've been in love with the idea of Christ. You talk about Christ and you preach Christ. But you're not trying to be like him. Oh, I like to look like Christ. I like to, on the wall, my superficial, I'm good. He's a nice guy. But deep down inside, I have evil, I have malice, I have deceit. I'm judgmental. That's not being like Christ. I want to think like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I don't want to be like Mike. He's just a man. I don't want to be like him. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. If you have a need and you haven't had that desire to be like Christ, now is the time before it's everlasting too late. But now is the time that we are all family and ain't nobody judging you up in here. Nobody. Ain't nobody judging. Well, there might be somebody judging you up in here, but they ain't in love with Christ Jesus like they should be. Because we're all in the same boat in need of a Savior and in need of that blood and grace. And I want you to accept it today. Accept it. Accept it and change your life. If you have a need this morning, now is the time while the song of encouragement is sung.